I work with Dr. Jerry Michaels at Texas AgriLife Research, and this is in addition to my thesis work. So why are baseline inventories of multiple insect taxa uncommon or not performed frequently at a site? First of all, funding for these kinds of research projects are not very common, and they're very expensive. There's multiple collection techniques that could be used for collecting invertebrate communities, depending on how you define that community. Typically, when we're collecting insects, we have a taxonomic need rather than site-specific information. And there's really no concern about invertebrate species until we see the community declining. With vertebrate species, we want to know what's at a site, but with invertebrate species, we typically don't worry about it until there's a problem. A difficulty or the cost associated with identification of these species. As several people have talked about in previous talks today, it's a lot of individuals to deal with, and it's very time-consuming to identify them. Also, getting statistically usable data, you have to decide whether you want replication or whether you want to collect for diversity and look at multiple sites. Finally, you're going to collect an overwhelmingly large number of individuals. No matter what technique you use, you're going to collect a lot of individuals. We're working at Pinyon Canyon Maneuver Site. It's in Model, Colorado, and it's the second largest maneuver site in the United States. We targeted six groups: Orthoptera, Acilidae, Carabidae, Coccinellidae, Apiforms, and Butterflies. We selected nine habitats, and I have six representative habitats here, looking for the most impacted, the least available at the site, or sites with the most dominant plant assemblages. We use multiple collection methods. We use pitfall trapping, malaise trapping, sweep net sampling, beet bag sampling, and time-constrained butterfly surveys at each of the nine sites. Samples were sorted into the target taxa and then an extra everything vial, and they were stored in alcohol until they could be pinned. The target taxa were labeled, and then they were sent either to specialists or identified by trained personnel in the lab. We added identification labels as identifications were made, and we're maintaining a voucher collection at the experiment station, and we're sending off additional specimens to be stored in either museums or with the specialists that helped us identify them. Equipment and travel and cost, it was about $5,000 to purchase the initial collecting supplies, including our malaise traps, $1,500 for an on-site storage trailer, $3,500 as a prorated amount for the truck, and $1,000 for the GPS use for the summer. In addition, we had travel, our site's about 5 hours away from the experiment station, so that cost us $1,500 in gasoline and $3,500 in hotel and daily expenses for our crew. We had three people 3 days a week in Colorado throughout the summer, and we had two student workers and a project leader. This gave us a little over 1,400 man hours, costing us $17,400, and 384 man hours and about $4,600 of labor costs were due to the distance from the site. So if your site was closer, you could eliminate this cost. Sorting the field samples into temporary stored alcohol vials was about 964 hours, which cost us $11,600. Pinning these specimens was about 340 hours to pin them, about $4,000, and it took us 119 hours to label these, which was about $1,500. Cabinets, drawers, and pins totaled a cost of about $6,000 so that we could maintain these collections. Permanent storage, we spent about 128 hours at a cost of $1,600 to sort and store these specimens. Data entry, taking all of those labeled specimens and putting them into an Excel spreadsheet, took about $1,300 and 108 hours. To create the yearly report took about 120 hours and cost us about $1,500. Administrative and support staff cost, our secretary, our scheduler, buying supplies, the lab assistants, people who built equipment, cost us about $15,000. This is our collection yield. It costs us about $3.50 a specimen to collect it in the field, pin it, and label it. This does not include identification cost. Identification, Dr. Jerry Michaels identified our coccinellids. It took him about an hour to identify 72 individuals. I identified the acidity and then had them verified by Dr. David Sissom at WT. That took about 40 hours and cost us $480. Dr. Sissom volunteered his time. Orthoptera took us about 240 hours, costing us a little over $2,800, and that gave us 84 species. Lepidoptera were identified in the field, although there is some problems with having students identify butterflies by sight in the field, and it does take some training. There's very little after field preparation, but we also lose some of our voucher specimens that way. Our carabids were identified by Dr. Darren Pollock, and we just paid him for that, so I don't have an hour figure for him. It did take us about 20 hours to pick up and deliver these. It cost us a little over $3,500 to get 52 species and over 4,000 individuals identified, although some of these individuals are still being identified. For the bees, Chanda Henney is currently working on these, and I did preliminary identifications, and it's taken us about 100 hours to get generic identifications, costing us more than $1,200. Collection trap yields. Different collection types will yield you different sorts of individuals collected, and that's really how you need to focus your study, is choose a correct collection type for what taxa you're targeting. Pitfall traps yielded the most individuals, especially Orthoptera and Carabidae, and then followed by malaise trapping and butterfly surveying. The butterfly surveying was very effective. It required a very insignificant amount of time to carry out these butterfly surveys and very little post-field work processing because you don't actually collect the specimens. Malaise trapping collected significantly more acidity in Hymenoptera than any other technique. So if you want to include those, malaise traps are a great way to do that. Pitfall trapping and malaise trapping require a lot of post-work processing, as well as greasing your specimens because we did collect them in propylene glycol. Butterfly surveying collected the only potential species of concern, the Euphlophius rita, which is a blue, and only one individual was observed and we didn't get a voucher specimen. So that can be a negative thing. Here's the total cost summary. The total project cost $84,300 and over 4,700 man hours. That's 2 years full-time staff working. And it's about equal, the equipment, the field work, and samples pinned and labeled are all about equivalent in cost. And the equipment can be reused from year to year. So if you do this study for a second year, your equipment costs will go down. Finally, by focusing our collection techniques and sorting to target our specific groups, it will eliminate some of this cost. This baseline data is very valuable, even though it's expensive to collect. We need to know what was there before we have a problem instead of waiting until after an insect is endangered to be concerned about it. Focusing our sorting will limit the baseline data, but it'll also allow the cost to be lower. And this choice between cost and collecting everything is really the reason why these experiments or these studies aren't carried out very frequently. It's expensive to collect and identify everything that's there. We will have a copy of the 2007 report online, and this will be available to be viewed after the presentation, so you can go to this site and you can look at our 2007 report. I'd like to thank all of our people at the military, Robin Wren and Mead Claviter, for access to the base and project funding. Darren Pollock, Chanda Henney, and David Sissom, and Scott Bundy, who are identifying specimens for us. Scott Bundy is volunteering to do the Hemiptera. And then everybody who works with me at Dr. Michael's research lab for help sorting these 16,000 individuals. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes. The question is, well, did we consider the continued cost of maintaining these collections? We did manage to get a lot of museums that are willing to freely take our penned and ID'd specimens, and so they're maintaining them for us. The cost to us at the experiment station is going to be relatively low. We're going to make sure that we have fumigants in the drawers, and we already have the drawers and the tables there. So we don't have funding to keep them indefinitely, but that's our plan, is to keep them indefinitely anyway. So we really don't have any estimation on the long-term cost. Yes? Can you repeat the question? How many new species might come out of this collection? We do not know yet. We still have several carabids at Specialist, and then we have some bees that have not been identified to species yet. Most of the butterflies and the grasshoppers were fairly common things. We didn't find anything really unusual yet. Thank you.